You know, we've been talking a lot about ghosts, but they are not just the spiritual remains of people who've died. That term, as you just heard, can also be used to describe entire towns. In Georgia, there were thriving communities that now exist only in historical documents, ruins, or some old photos. Lisa Russell teaches at Georgia Northwestern Technical College, and she studied some of these communities for her new book, Lost Towns of North Georgia. She joins us by Skype from her home in Bartow County. It's good to have you, Lisa.
Thank you, Celeste.
Let's start with the place where you started, I understand, in Cassville. Why did you end up there, and why were you looking into that place?
Well, when I moved to Bartow County, I started going to church there at first, Cassville Baptist Church, and I noticed the church was very, very old. It was built in 1914, I believe. But I started hearing the stories about the church and how it survived, the original building survived the burning up from Sherman, the Civil War, and how the soldiers used to turn the pews upside down and use them for horse troughs. So I hear these stories, and I just was so interested for years and years. I've thought about it and rattled around in my head until I just thought, I'm going to write this. So I wrote to History Press and I said, I've got this idea. And they loved it, but they loved even more that if I covered a lot more of the North Georgia area, which, by the way, I did as much as I could in the time frame and the research time I had. I'm after writing it, there's so many more that I didn't write about that I look forward to writing about in the future.
We spoke with also paranormal genealogist Shannon Byers, yeah, who's in Gwinnett County. Yeah, and she says she accepts the term ghost town. Here's her reasoning.
It's not just ghosts of, you know, the people that may have lived there. It's ghosts of the buildings. You know, ghost doesn't always mean dead person. You know, it's something left from the past that's still haunting other people. Now, whether that be a building, whether that be a spirit, it doesn't matter. Ghost towns is a perfect term.
And I wonder how you feel, and if you feel the same, because you ended up visiting a lot of different places. Do you think ghost town is the right word or phrase to use?
That was the original title of the book, but the publisher decided to use lost towns. I feel like they're ghost towns. I feel like she was saying, that there's like a presence, and that's what drew me, especially like to Cassville. When you drive through Cassville now, there's like, it's like a three-way stop to nowhere. You know, there's a three-way stop, and there's really nothing left of what it used to be. It used to be one of the biggest towns between Chattanooga and Atlanta in the 1840s, but now it's nothing. I mean, there's nothing there. And it's just fascinating to me. When I go by places that are like that, and we all see them everywhere, where you drive through a town, it's like something draws you. If you're like me, it draws you in the older places. You want to know what happened there. Why is it not there anymore? What was inside? And that was my quest, is to find out why. And, you know, first ask why, like the book says. And it came to be like a micro history. I study a lot. I teach English. So I teach micro history research, my students, when they're doing argumentative essays. And the micro history is like a focus on a specific time or unknown person or a day or even a town. And that little town made a big difference in the end. Like the town of Lindale, if it wasn't for the pictures that were taken by a photographer in the 1900s, we might not have had children labor laws because of the pictures that were taken at the mill at Lindale in 1914. So what little things that we think are insignificant, even these ghost towns, had a purpose and a time.
And Lindale was a pretty sizable community at the time. How did it disappear?
Because of the industry.
When child labor laws came in, then...
No, it was later than that. They actually saved it to the... I forget the year. Wasn't too long ago.
Yeah, just like about a decade ago, maybe?
Yeah. And they kept... they got rid of the mill town aspect. So people said, well, there's still Lindale. Yes, there is still a place called Lindale. But it's not the mill town that it was in the 30s and the, you know, but the child labor laws were really changed things, but it was really during the Depression era that the child labor laws became really stuck. They started in the 20s, and then, you know how Congress is, they changed it and everything, but it really stuck during the New Deal. And then children came out of the plants and were going to school and things like that. But there was a photographer named William Lewis Hine. He's in the National Archives. He went around the country taking pictures of children. And many of the pictures in my book are pictures from Lindale. There's actually a guy named, his name was Norman Hall.
He's the 10-year-old?
Yes.
Yeah, who was working at the mill.
Yeah, he said he was 12.
He lied so he could work
Yeah, they
there.
Lied. Yes. So it's really interesting. And my son looked it up for me and found out he was actually lived a pretty good life till, I guess, to the 1960s. And we found his grave in Woodstock, Georgia. So it was interesting to follow his, you know, him as a child laborer to 1962.
My guest is Lisa Russell, author of the book Lost Towns of North Georgia. I wonder if there's a special poignancy to communities that disappeared because of violence. Let me go back to Shannon Byers, because we're going to talk about Skull Shoals. She, again, is a paranormal genealogist out of Gwinnett County. And she has descendants that lived in Skull Shoals, and they died there in 1793.
They were having a lot of problem with the Creek Indians, who would come across the river and raid their cattle and try to do harm to people. And my great aunt and uncle, Richard and Mary Thrasher, along with two of their children and a servant, were actually scalped and massacred by the Creek.
Now, she describes the Indians coming across and doing harm to people, but that was Indian land that they were on at that time. What did you find out about Skull Shoals?
Skull Shoals was really the most haunting place that I went to.
Literally?
This is the whole story of it. The mill towns that were there, the paper mill and then the cotton mill. And I went with, it's funny. Shannon's amazing. She does her homework and I got a lot of the research from her, and she actually showed me original documents and things that she had done a research about her relatives. And there's an organization called Friends of Skull Shoals, and they do a wonderful job keeping the history alive. But Shannon has a different dimension to her story. And I ended my book with her telling me that there was finally peace she calls it the Shoals. The name sounds real creepy too, but really a skull it's not like the skull on Halloween. It's the skull of a paddle, an oar.
Yeah.
Rafting
down or canoeing right down the river.
But it was, the buildings are, if you go in there, it's really hard to find. In fact, I was joking. Here I am with a person with gifts, psychic gifts, and we got lost with two GPS. We couldn't find our way. So we finally found it again. She had been there, but forgot where it was. And I just thought that was funny that, you know, she couldn't find it. So we went in there and we walked around. It was a creepy cold day, really, and raining. And we walked around and just the ghosts of the buildings, like she was talking about, if you look at the pictures in the book or online, it's just the, you know, remnants of an old manufacturing building, you know, and those of us who live in North Georgia know there's a lot of those around, a lot of old cotton mills and things like that. And to see it in that disrepair and a fireplace like someone had just left, you know, it's creepy. Even the water, right, the Oconee River is right there. And basically what killed the manufacturing, was the water. They had farmed the land so much that the dirt had got into the water and it ruined. They flooded or they had drought, and either way it messed up the manufacturing. But when I went there with her, it was, like I said, cold and rainy, and it was very interesting. And I wish I had made a video of it. So she said, I'm going to tell you something that's, nobody really knows, and they don't know where those graves are. And I don't know if she talks about this on her clips, but she had found where the people were buried. You know, there's some records of these people being massacred, but nobody ever knew where they were buried. But Shannon knows. And how Shannon knows is that she does a thing called dowsing rods, which, of course, I'm kind of an unbeliever in all this stuff. And so she goes up there and she does the dowsing rods, and she could find the actual grave. She could tell me how old the person was in the grave, you know, what sex of the person. And she has this whole method. And it was so fascinating. I just couldn't, you know, it's just that story that nobody really knows except through telling in this story. She's told it, but, you know, I was privileged to work with her on this, and I have a whole different respect for people that do that kind of work. And she takes her work seriously. She's not crazy, or, you know.
So I'm wondering what you came away with after visiting all these towns that were once, many of them, thriving and quite large and have disappeared.
Right.
What do you take away? What is left behind in a place when a community leaves?
Well, starting back at Cassville, when I realized that there were two colleges there, I mean, in 1840, there were two full colleges there. And it was a very cultural place. That just blows me away, you know, because there's nothing there. And I wondered about that through the whole book and everyone I was writing it. And what it came down was that there's a time There's every place and every person is there for a time, reason, and the season. I feel like that they had a purpose for the time that they were there, for the people that were there, and their purpose was done, and the town disintegrated for one reason or the other. Some are being repurposed, you know, but for the most part, they're gone. And we need to remember them, especially places like Skull Shoals that are just really hard to find.
Why do we need to remember them?
Because if we remember something about history, I'm not a historian. I'm very amateur. I'm an English teacher and a writer. But there's something about the story of old towns that keep it's like I'm gonna read a quote from the book, and it's written by J.B. Tate. He's a local historian. He used to work at Kennesaw State, and he's in the Bartow History Museum, and Etowah Foundation. He says, "We must know the history of our community and be stirred by it before we can build for the future."
Huh.
That's what it to me is, that it gives us a foundation for the future, if we want to listen. But we always learn from the past. That's just what I get out of it. And that everything has a purpose and every person has a purpose, and figure that out, you know, to fulfill that purpose.
That is Lisa Russell. She is author of the book Lost Towns of North Georgia. Lisa, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.